Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
This is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
What's up? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. And you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. If you didn't hear before, if you just logged in, I am still broadcasting live from Norfolk, Virginia. It's almost like I moved back to one of our old homes because I've been here for almost 2 weeks now. Hopefully, I'll be making my way back to the ATL Saturday. But anyway, live broadcast, January 30th, 2014. That you're live in effect with your man, Dwayne Abernathy, here on YizerRadio.com. And tonight, we're talking about entrepreneurship, or being an entrepreneur, or starting or running your own business. And the reason, it's so funny, that what made me decide to talk about this topic tonight is, I know you guys, if you haven't, there's this show out there called Duck Dynasty. And I can remember that when that show first came out, I would say probably about a year and a half ago, I was out on the road, I think I was up in New York, and I was just in my hotel room, and, you know, I'm channel surfing or whatever, and I saw a bunch of guys out there with beards, these long beards, running around catching frogs. It was like one of the first episodes of Duck Dynasty. And so I started watching the show, and I started realizing that these guys are multimillionaires, the whole family. Like, it's like the epitome of a home base of a home family operated business, the Duck Dynasty crew. And I was thinking to myself, like, duck hunting, duck calls, like, is duck calling hunting industry that big of an industry to build a multi-million dollar business on some freaking duck calls? But obviously it is. So then I was watching again last night, stuck in my hotel, and I'm watching the new season of it. And then I just thought about, I've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of people on entrepreneurship or helping them with their business. I've been in business for myself for like over 20 years now, and so I have a lot of people calling to ask me for business advice. So I was thinking to myself, like, you know what? That's what Thursday show is going to be about. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship. And if you guys don't know what an entrepreneur is, it's actually a French word, and it means entrepreneurship is the process of identifying and starting a business venture, sourcing and organizing the required resources, and taking both the risk and the rewards associated with that venture. That is like, say, for instance, the Webster Dictionary version of what an entrepreneur is. But it's so funny, I've also heard that the word entrepreneur pretty much means a risk taker, a person who's willing to take a risk no matter what the result is, either a positive result or a negative result. But an entrepreneur is somebody who's willing to take that risk. And that's me, you know. And so tonight, I'm going to give you guys some pointers on being an entrepreneur, but also I'm going to get deep because, you know, I got to get back to my people and move my people forward. So this show tonight is going to get a little grimy later on, but, you know, I like the grime. But anyway, what I want to do is play a clip here, and pretty much this clip is pretty much just giving you an insight from other successful business owners and entrepreneurs. It's just pretty much telling you to just go for it. After I play this clip, I'm going to get back into, you know, more in depth about, you know, becoming a business owner. I'm going to give you guys some tips on how to start your own business and everything. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to play this clip, and I'll be back in a second. And tonight we're talking about entrepreneurship and starting your own business. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you're listening to GeiserRadio.com.
I think if you've got a good idea, it's really important to be focused and not to let, you know, negative people put you off.
The piece of advice I give to someone about to start up is go for it. I'm a great believer in people being brave enough to start new businesses and to really learn from that process. I know a lot of young people who tried to start businesses and failed, but the amount they learned from it was terrific. And lo and behold, second time round, it looks like they'll succeed. So I think the biggest advice to anyone is really think about it, really work at it, and then be brave.
Do something you feel passionate about, because if you feel passionate about it, you'll understand it, and you'll understand the rhythm of it, and you'll know whether it's good or bad. A lot of people come off the rails because they think that something's a good business idea, but it doesn't actually motivate them as an idea except for the making of money. I have seen more failures through people being obsessed by the making of money than anything else. I've seen more successes with people passionate about an idea than anything else.
Don't go into business unless you really absolutely love it fits and are prepared to spend many, many years getting to grips with it. So love it. Secondly, be unbelievably honest about what's good and bad about your execution of that business. Be really, really honest. Don't blame other people, don't blame the market, don't blame the weather, don't blame anything, just blame yourself and get to grips with it. And thirdly, have the tenacity to keep trying when it doesn't work.
Go and ask people advice. People love giving advice. It's unbelievable the number of chief executives, famous people, celebrities, you know, people you'd think were incredibly difficult, where if you ring them up and say, I'd like to ask your advice, you know, people go, yeah, okay. So I'm a real believer in listening. I talk a bit myself as well, but I'm a real believer in listening and just to soak it all in. But the question I never ask anybody ever is, should I do it? Because if they knew the answer, they'd be out there doing it themselves. So listen, and know that there's a filter system for some of the stuff coming in, you know, some of the, especially the fear-based stuff, it'll never work, you know, it's their stuff. You know, goes straight past, some goes in the waste paper basket, but you learn more from crit. Somebody comes up to me and says, I had a really bad experience in Yo Sushi, which doesn't happen that often, but if that ever does happen, I learned far more from that, far more than people coming up saying, great concept, really, really good.
I think if you think of starting a business, just follow a few steps, which is do your market research, convince yourself it's going to work, raise money, implement your idea, and persist. So
I've written a book called Anyone Could Do It, and in that there are all the sort of steps about how to start a business. You can get that nowadays. There are a lot of resources showing people how to start a business. So if you follow those steps, you're sort of okay, as long as you add that bit of hard work and persistence in there.
Hire great people. It's very hard to build a scalable business on your own. And when you're looking for those great people, look for people with different skill sets to yours, different ideas to yours. Otherwise, if you hire people who are just like you, your business is two-dimensional.
Don't be surprised if it's not going to work straight away. You've got to have the tenacity, the courage, and so on, to probably go to hell and back before your idea will work, because nothing's easy, and certainly in business, it certainly isn't.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. I played that clip to get us started in tonight's topic, and that's becoming an entrepreneur or starting your own business. I'll tell you guys, becoming an entrepreneur is something that I tell people all the time that it's not for everybody. I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm cutting straight to the chase. It's not for everybody to necessarily be the leader or the creator of the business, but I do recommend everybody in our community to get involved with a small business to help out an entrepreneur, because you have a better chance of being a part of a successful multi, even if it's not a $1 million business, even a business making an extra few hundred thousand a year, you have a better chance of reaping the rewards from that business because you're a part of helping that small business grow. Perfect example. Something that used to be in our community all the time, people always talking about, go get a good job. That's what we were taught by our parents. So I got a question. Say, for instance, you go get a good job. Like, say, for instance, let's use working for Nike as an example. Okay? Say, for instance, Nike, for example. You can go get a job at Nike, sure enough, get a good job or whatever, help take care of your family and everything. You would never reap the rewards of being right next to the founders and creators of Nike. So imagine if you was working at Nike, but then in your spare time, you was dealing, like, on a team of a person who was starting a small fashion company or a small T-shirt company or whatever. Now you're considered on the board, and you helping taking your skills that you learned from Nike to help this small fashion company or T-shirt company grow, and now you're part of an organization that's growing that could probably surpass the income that you're making at Nike. So that's what I'm talking about. When you become an entrepreneur or be a supporter of an entrepreneur, you provide that economic power and control over your finances better if you're working for somebody full-time. So that's why I recommend, you know, and I always push entrepreneurship to everybody. And I'm not telling people quit your job or whatever, but there's nothing wrong with taking that spare time and really going to work for a smaller company, like, say, if you want to have a part-time job and make some extra money on the side or learn a skill, deal with a smaller company and trying to chase out these bigger companies. Okay. I feel like I'm rambling. So let me get to some points of people tell me all the time, like, Dwayne, you know, what you're saying is always sounds great or whatever, and it's good to be a dreamer, but I can't start a business because, one, I don't know how to start a business. Two, I don't have any money to start a business. Or three, you know, my idea is not going to work. I'm going to start with someone saying they have an idea, but their idea is not going to work. That is a bunch of ish. Get that out of your vocabulary. If you have an idea, ask yourself, why can't it work? You know, ask yourself, you know, why not me? So what I'm trying to say to you, every idea can work. You just have to be willing to take that sacrifice, the time and education to make that idea a reality. You know, let me give you a perfect example. I'm going to use Yizer, for example, Yizer.com, our social network. Okay. I was sitting there, and I was on Facebook one day, and when I was on Facebook, I was just looking at I guess it's called the news feed, or I don't know what it's called, the front page, whatever it's called on Facebook, because I'm hardly ever on Facebook. But I was on Facebook one day, and I saw just a jumbled amount of data and information. Like, I had one person post something on there talking about, you know, they got a new job promotion. Then I had somebody else post something on there who said something about her and her husband was having issues. Then I had somebody else post something on there, a friend of ours had passed away. So I looked at all this information that was jumbled on my Facebook page, but I realized and I understood that the owners of Facebook, what they do, they take all that information and they segregate and separate all that information, and then they push those topics and that information to advertisers and pretty much sell people's information. So then I started asking, like, why is there not a social network that focuses completely on building the black community, talking about black business owners, talking about black job opportunities, talking about black history, talking about what's going on in the black news that's not, you know, all on the major media, you know, major media channels, which inspired me to go ahead and take the chance creating Yizer.com. Then also, I started thinking about Yizer.com, where it could be a resource to black entrepreneurship to help bring the black dollar back into our community, and also black realtors, black people that's in the real estate industry, you know, because there's no, like, when you think, when I think of real estate, I'm going to be honest with you, I think of Tucker, is it Talk to Tucker in Indianapolis? I think of Remax. You know, I could not name to you no black-owned real estate companies except for my cousin Brian. I know Hodges Realty in Indianapolis because that's my cousin. But the majority of people don't know who Hodges Realty is because what we do, we get overshadowed by all these big corporations that are not black-owned businesses. So that was one of the reasons why I took the chance and opportunity to create an entrepreneurial venture, a business venture like Yizer.com, entrepreneur. Okay. That's an example of taking the initiative and taking a chance. Okay? So Yizer may be successful. It might not be successful, but I can at least say that I took the chance to make that effort to create something that can help our community. All right. Let me slow down for a second. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to, like, somebody asking me the questions. Dwayne, I have a great idea, and I would love to start a business, but I don't know how to start a business. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you guys the 10 simple steps to starting a business. Okay? The first step to starting a business is writing a business plan. Okay? When you write your business plan, I'm a true believer when it comes to writing a business plan, it's like create it, your business plan from where you want to go to where you are. In other words, what I'm saying, say for instance, if you are a boutique owner, I mean, you want to start a clothing boutique, but you would love to have a chain of boutiques. When you think of your business plan, have that in mind, like, where's your goal that you want to get to? Okay, so say for instance, if you're in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you want to own 4 boutiques in Indianapolis, Indiana. Have that goal in mind, okay? But then, when you start your business plan, you start from the beginning. Like, okay, what's the concept of my, do I want to sell in my boutique? Then you ask, then you have to put down and find out what's the customer that you want. Do you want a customer from the age range of 18 to 28, or do you want a kids clothing store from, like, say for instance, from toddlers to the age of 12? All this type of stuff or whatever, you come up with all this, you write it all down into your business plan, okay? Because your business plan is pretty much a map to guide you through your business, okay? Also, your business plan, you want to try to give yourself like a foreshadow it's hard to predict the future. That's the crazy part about the business plan. It's like it's asking you to predict the future. You're really not predicting the future. What you're doing, you're making projections of what you're trying to hit. What you're doing, the business plan is going to help you put down goals that can help you with reaching where you're trying to go to. So it's pretty much like a roadmap of your business, okay? Another thing in your business plan, you want to put in your business plan, like, how much money you think you're going to need to create the business. So what you want to do with that, you want to do your research. Like, say, brother, we go back to the boutique thing. Ask yourself, do you want your boutique to be a brick and mortar, which is like actual location, or do you want it to be an online boutique? Okay? So you put all this information into your business plan, okay? Then the next step, you get business assistance and training. What I mean by business assistance and training is learn your industry. Learn your business. I'll give you a perfect example. I told you guys the other day I own a company by the name of Jasmine's Boutique. It's a lingerie company. It literally took me 2 years of research and learning fashion, learning lingerie, learning the materials that lingerie is made out of, learning designers of lingerie, learning how to buy lingerie, the difference between Prima cotton and lace. It took me 2 years pretty much learning and getting educated on the lingerie business. So that's what I mean by the step number two, get business assistance and training. Start hanging out with people, talk with people that's inside your industry. I tell people all the time, one of the best ways to learn something is on-the-job training. So imagine going back to the boutique example. Go get a part-time job at a boutique. You're doing it for the education. You're not doing it for the money. It's almost like, think about this. When you go to college, you pay in for somebody to teach you a skill, right? But same as if you are trying to start a boutique, go work for a boutique and get paid for the education, okay? So, and say for instance, so don't go rush out. People think you want to start the business, you got to just rush out real quick. It doesn't work that way. You have to take the time to develop the skills so you can be competitive and understand the business. Give you guys a perfect example. I moved to Atlanta originally, 1996. Well, I originally located to Atlanta and set up shop in Atlanta in 1998, okay? When I went to Atlanta, I still wasn't sure if I wanted to start my own business or work for somebody, okay? So I was out doing interviews and stuff like that, and at the time, you know, my background was in technology, IT, but then I was also an electrician. And I can remember sitting at an interview, the guy looked over all my skills, looked at my resume and everything like that, and this is what he told me. He said, Dwayne, you need to make up your mind what you want to do. You're getting older, and you have to choose one of these two skill sets that you want to move forward with. So he literally did not give me the job because I was all over the map. It's like I was qualified for the job, but in my interview, I was sending him a lot of mixed signals because I was like, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, or whatever. And his piece of advice, so then, at that point, I decided that I wanted to pursue being a telecommunications contractor. But at the time, I was new to the city. I didn't know the ins and outs of the business. I just didn't know. And at the same time, unfortunately, in our community, we don't have people that teaches us. You know, where I come from, we all know the same story. The only people that can teach us in our neighborhood, we got the pimps, players, hustlers. Okay. So I sat down one day, and this is what I'm, you know, giving you guys advice on. Sit down and create a blueprint, a plan to move forward with your dream or your idea. So what I decided to do, I decided I need to go get a job working for a telecommunications contractor so I could learn the ins and outs of the business. So I started sending out my resumes or whatever, and it came down to two interviews. I had an interview with Bell South at the time And I had an interview with a company called, I cannot think of the name of it now. I think it was called National Communications. So it was a small mom-and-pop organization. Pretty much it was just the owner and myself and his wife. It was just us three, okay? He was only, at the time, only paying me like something like $9 an hour, right? If I would have went with Bell South at the time, I would have made like $15 an hour. I took the job with the smaller company because my goal was to become an entrepreneur to own my own business. So I would have learned more about the business working with this small mom-and-pop organization than working for a big company like Bell South. So I took the job, $9 an hour. But this is what I learned, people, and this is what I'm trying to explain to you guys. If you want to become an entrepreneur, start your own business, take the time to get the education first. So believe it or not, I believe it takes 2 years to start a new business venture. Sometimes I think to do it right. But, you know, there's people out there that can prove me wrong on that, but I'm just giving you an example of what I live. But this is what I gained. I found out where to buy the equipment, the telecommunication equipment, at a wholesale price. I went to find, I learned because when he went to go to his vendors to buy stuff, I was with him. So I was able to find out, this is like information that nobody was sharing with me, so I had to be smart about it, create a blueprint and a plan to learn this knowledge. So I learned where to get the equipment locally and how to order equipment. Also, what I learned by working for a smaller company like that, and once again, like I said, it wasn't about the money, it was about the education. I learned how to go to job sites and do walkthroughs and get bids on a job. You know, I learned what it costs to charge a customer for a particular piece of equipment, okay? Other things I learned was invoicing and how to get paid from a job. So what I'm trying to say to you guys, all of this stuff falls into step two. I'm going to move forward because I've been talking about step two for a while. But the whole part of it, if you want to start a business, take the time to get the education. Okay. Step three on starting a business, choose a business location. Okay. This one right here, I'm not a big fan of. Because in today's world with technology, you necessarily don't have to have a brick-and-mortar place. There's like multi-million-dollar businesses that are starting, you know, in people's homes, in their garages, in their basements, or whatever. But it depends on your business that you're trying to start. You know, like I'm going to give you a perfect example. My mom, well, she's my aunt, but she's my wife's aunt. Well, she's my aunt, okay. She does catering. She used to own restaurants and everything, but she realized that instead of having a restaurant paying for all that overhead or whatever, she does farmers markets. And then she also decided instead of owning a restaurant with all the overhead paying for equipment and staff or whatever, she does catering. But the cool thing about it is in today's business world, there are commercial kitchens that you can rent out by the hour to cook your food in. So you can pretty much be in the restaurant or food industry without even really physically owning a restaurant. You can rent out commercial kitchens to cook your product, and then you deliver your food. Okay? I can remember I ran into this one guy. Where was I at? I think I was in Atlanta. And the guy was taking orders for pizzas. And what he would do, he would only sell pizza. He had his own type of pizza. And he would only sell pizza on Fridays and Saturdays. What he would do, he would take pre-orders, or they would call him on the phone. But what he would do, he would rent out a pizza oven in this restaurant only on Fridays and Saturdays for his own pizza. It's so ingenious. It's like in so many different ways to create your business today. You just have to be innovative about it. So the whole choosing a business location, I believe that you should try to find a location or do your business without spending a whole bunch of money and overhead on a business. I mean, on a building or a location. So when you need a location, move to the location where you can afford it. Okay. Step four, financing your business. Financial business can be tricky. So, you know what? On this part, this one here, I'm going to play a clip by Mark Cuban. the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. This guy said, I like business owners who go against the grain. So I'm gonna play this clip because Mark Cuban is talking about somebody who wants starting a business and need the money. So I'm gonna play this clip by Mark Cuban, and then we're gonna talk about financing your business. It's your man Dwayne Everett.
I'm gonna describe it. I was saying, entrepreneur, Dallas Maverick owner, Shark Tank star. You do it all, Mark.
I don't know about that, but entrepreneur, that works.
You know, you and I were talking earlier today on one of the panels, and you made some really fascinating points about innovation right now in this country, and all that needs to be done to encourage it, to encourage small businesses. What do you think overall is the most important thing for new entrepreneurs right now?
Just to go after it. I mean, the thing about being an entrepreneur is this, it's just all to you. You know, a lot of people like to make excuses. I don't have connections. I don't have money. I don't have this. But, you know, if you find something that you like to do or love to do, be great at it and see if you can turn it into a business. And worst case, you're going to have fun doing what it is you love to do. And best case, you can turn it into a business. I'm just not big on excuses. I just think if you're really – everybody has that opportunity to go for it. They just got to do it.
Well, you know, a lot of people say it's hard to get a loan right now if you're a small business owner or you're trying to come up with an idea. How do you get the capital to start that business?
Well, first of all, if you're starting a business and you take out a loan, you're a moron, right? Because you're – there's so many uncertainties involved with starting a business, yet the one certainty that you'll have to have is paying back your loan. And the bank doesn't care about your business, or whoever you borrow from, unless it's family, doesn't care about your business. You know, and so it's just a complete conflict.
What's your small business entrepreneur?
99% of small businesses you can start with next to no capital. It's more about effort. You know, small businesses don't fail for lack of capital. They fail for lack of brains. They fail for lack of effort. Most people just aren't willing to put in the time to work smart. I mean, they go for it in a lot of cases, but they just don't recognize how much work's involved. And if you do the preparation, if you start a business, you better know your industry and your company better than anyone in the whole wide world, because you're competing. And to think that whoever it is you're competing with is just going to let you come in and take their business, obviously that's naive, and I think most people don't recognize that. If you're going to compete with me and one of my businesses, you better realize that I'm working 24 hours a day to kick your ass.
You know, a lot of companies right now are holding on to their money. They're holding on to cash. Maybe they're doing some share buybacks.
Right.
But in general, they're not putting their capital to work right now. How and when does that start to change?
I mean, it's a reflection of a lot of different things. If they're buying back shares, it means they don't see anything in their own businesses that they can invest in. And if they don't see anything in their own businesses that they can invest in, then it doesn't matter if they're bringing back capital from elsewhere, and it doesn't matter that they can talk all they want about jobs, but there's no good reason, you know, to hire people because they don't have places to put capital to work. And I think that's also a reflection of the focus on Wall Street. You know, most of the times when we talk about putting capital to use, we talk about public companies. You don't really see this as an issue in private companies. But with public companies, they get such a concern with shareholder value and shareholder returns that they lose sight of trying to move the ball and to innovate and to invest in R&D. And I think that's hurt our economy, and I think that hurts the company in the long term.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean for growth? Do you think we're going to be in this 2.5%, 2% environment for a while?
I don't look at that and say,
boom, baby, financing your business. I played that clip for the purpose of, I get so many people tell me all the time, Dwayne, I can't start a business because I don't have the money. To be honest with you, it really doesn't take a lot of money to start a business with the cost of buying a PlayStation or an Xbox or a pair of those new Jordans. Pretty much $500.
Okay.
And I'm a true believer in, if you're starting a business, I believe in the concept of sell it before you buy it, or sell it before you make it. So say, for instance, if you decide to do a boutique, I'm a type of person, I recommend that you, especially if you're starting off, you don't have the money, you got to get creative. So you create your line. You know, you can have a brochure or a website, which is really cost-effective, and say for you selling jeans. You sell the jeans, then you buy the jeans. Then you don't have to worry about carrying an inventory. So when it comes to financing your business, I'm like Mark Cuban. Try your best not to get a loan, because funny. Anytime you predict something, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out how you predict it. And now, guess what? Now you got family members that's upset with you, or you got people chasing at you for their money and things like that. So it's like now your business has become a source of stress for you, you know. So I think when it comes to financing your business, try your best to finance it yourself. But it really doesn't cost a lot. You really want to start your business without having a lot of overhead. Okay? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. I'm going to take a break, and I will be back in a second. Tonight we're talking about becoming an entrepreneur or how to start a new business. I'll be back in a second.
What of the dollar you murder for? Is that the one fighting for your soul? Or your brother's the one that you're running from? But if you got money, forget it, I want some.
B.I.G. Oh God. Whoa. Okay, ain't nobody f***ing with my click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mug, mug. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the, they want the. Tell a bad bitch, do whatever I say. My block behind me like I'm coming out the driveway. It's grind day from Friday to next Friday. I've been up straight for 9 days, I need a spy day. Yep. She try and give me that Wu-Tang, I might let my crew bang. My crew deep in it, Wu-Tang, I'm rolling with her. Girl, you know my crew name, you know 2 Chainz. I'm pulling up in that Bruce Wayne, but I'm the feeling, man, they kneeling when I'm walking in the building. Freaky women, I be feeling from the bank accounts, I'm feeling. What a feeling, aw, man, they gotta feel. Young player from the D, that's killing everything that he see, but it go. Click, 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 oh God. Click, click, ain't nobody fresher than my mom, mom. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the, they want the, they want the.
Click, clap, pick them up. Yeah, I'm talking, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking re. Yeah, I'm talking B. And I'm talking me. Yeah, I'm talking bossy. I ain't talking police. Your money too short, you can't be talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking LeBron. We ballin' our family tree. Good music, drug dealing, cousin, ain't nothing f***ing with we. Me, turn that 62 to 125, 125 to a 250. 250 to a half a man, ain't nothing nobody could do with me. Now who with me? Domino's, call me Hov or Hefe. Translation, I'm his. Least that's what my neck say. Least that's what my check say. Lost my homie for a decade. Break it down for like 12 years, ain't hugging son since second grade. He never told. Who we gon' tell? We top of the totem pole. It's the dream team, meets the supreme team. And all our eyes tweening only means
okay,
one thing. You ain't f***ing with the click.
Click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mom, mom, click.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
What's up, my people? This is Amanda Wayne. And I'm going to tell you guys something that's so funny. Another reason why I started talking about, well, I had this topic tonight about starting your own business, I have met so many people who never had the vision never had the drive to become their own business owner, but they were forced to become their own business owners because they got laid off. You know, their job was downsized, so they had to go out and create a business so they could take care of their family. So, like I said earlier, I believe everyone can't be an entrepreneur, but one thing I do want to tell everybody in my community, you really do want to get connected with an entrepreneur and be part of the fruits of that labor. I'm going to give you a sad example of our community that is so rampant, and I think to myself, why don't we do this for the legal side? There's been story after story after story that pretty much every, almost a lot of the families in our community has always had a doughboy in their family. We all know who that doughboy is in everybody's family. And unfortunately, the people who are really close to that doughboy in our family didn't put work and effort that doughboy of their illegal activity brought the benefits to that particular family. So I ask my people, this is a challenge that I ask my people, if you can get in line with somebody who's doing something illegal, why can't you get in line and support a family member who's doing something legal that you could be a part of? I know the money's not there as fast. I know the glam and excitement's not there as being part of the street world, but why not support a business person and grow a family business so we can have multiple dynasty businesses in our community? That's what I don't understand. I've seen too many cases in our neighborhood where somebody would go down and their whole family goes to jail behind that person. Versus, say for instance, the whole family, like, you know, we got a family and we decide that we want to be the number one mobile car wash family in the city, and everybody do their part, you know. That's my goal. Is I'm still trying. I'm 20 years in the game, and my goal is really to get my family to back damselinstress.com and get everybody to get involved in that particular business. And the bad part about it, this is what happens. The money's not there as fast, so a lot of people get discouraged, and that's what really happens. But now I'm putting a public service announcement out to my community. Find somebody in your family that's involved in a small business and support that family member and get involved. Okay, let's get back to the topic. Right now I'm giving you guys 10 steps to starting your business, but at the same time I'm also playing clips to help you guys understand the concepts from entrepreneurs that are successful. Okay, this last step that I told you guys was financing your business, and that's why I played the clip by Mark Cuban, because he was so true. You don't want to owe nobody, you know. And a lot of people are not going to understand your dream, so it's hard to explain to somebody, well, things didn't work out. They want their money, okay. And so a lot of that stuff is for big business stuff. I'm going to be honest with you, that's big business stuff. Stocks, bonds, all that BS, that's later on down the line. Okay, step number 5 to starting a business, determine the legal structure of your business. What I mean by this is you have to register your business, and I always tell people there's a difference between a businessman or woman and a hustler. A hustler is somebody who goes out and pretty much go out, make some money, and spend the money on whatever their need is for that day. A business person is really taking a responsibility and getting registered with the state, because unfortunately, Uncle Sam got to get his piece. So that's where determine the legal structure of your business. There are several ways. There's different structures of your business. You can either be a sole proprietorship. A sole proprietorship is pretty much you're the solo owner. So say, for example, your name is, say Dwayne Abernathy. If I want to start a business, just me by myself, I could do a sole proprietorship. I'm not going to get into all the tax breaks and all that stuff. That stuff I want you guys to research and learn more about, because I'm not a professional on all that tax stuff. But it comes down to taxes, how much you got to pay Uncle Sam. The next one is a partnership. You can have a partner. You can have a 50-50 partner. You can have a 60-40 partner. it's whatever you and another person, you know, decide. Like, say, for if you got somebody who's going to be in partnership with you, but you might have the money, but the other person might have the skills, you know, or you might have somebody who's valuable to your future business. We call that sweat equity. So you create a partnership. What I recommend to everybody, if you do have a partnership, unfortunately, it's a marriage. It's like a marriage. But what you have to do with a partnership when it comes to business, the first day, you guys pretty much have to, and I hate to say this, these are two things you have to cover first. Before you get to the level of making money and being all happy, you got to talk about if this thing doesn't work. So you have to put in writing and agree to what happens if this doesn't work. What do we do? The next thing you have to discuss is what happens if somebody dies in the process of us creating this business. You do all that stuff first, because you might start business with somebody and then realize that you don't get along with that person. You might start a business with a person and you found out that they're a crook. Fortunately, when you come in with partners, you have to discuss that stuff first before you move forward. And then you get to the sweet, happy stuff, okay? Get the negative out of the way first. All right, where are we at? Step number 6, register a business name, doing business as. So in other words, own the name. Come up with a good name for your business or whatever, and then you go and register that business name with your state government. So say for instance, with all my companies, like I have 14 Generations Technical Services that's registered with the state. DamselInDistress.com, I got it registered with the state. So you register, so now what happens is you take legal ownership of that name where someone can't control or do something in your name. You have legal right over that name to do business. Okay, speaking of names, I'm going to play another clip to give you guys, because what I'm doing tonight is giving you guys clips from very successful business people that I fire to be someday, I'm not going to lie, and people that I respect in the business world. And one person that I really respect is Damon Johns. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he is one of the founding creators of FUBU. And that goes into, like, say, for instance, when I just said about registering your business name. He came up with the name FUBU. It's a clothing line, an urban clothing line that came out in the early 90s, and it stood for us, by us. It was a clothing line that was, you know, for our community. But I'm going to play this clip by Damon Johns, because he talks about what I'm talking to you guys about tonight. It's like, once you become an entrepreneur, it's like falling in love for the first time. It's like, once it's in you, you become addicted to being an entrepreneur. But I want to play this clip from somebody else's opinion on becoming an entrepreneur who started from humble beginnings, just like myself. I just start with a silver spoon in my mouth. Everything that I can say is that I'm self-made entrepreneur. So I'm going to play this clip by Damon Johns, and then we're going to continue to talk about becoring an entrepreneur.
How did you grow up in Harlem, Queens during the heyday of Run-DMC and LL Cool J, inspiring your ambitions? Well, how was growing up in the heyday of Hollis? I think it was a great time. I think because it was that fusion. It was a middle class neighborhood, but the kids still went out and interacted with each other, played football, played baseball on the streets, you know, stickball, whatever the case is. But then the coolness started coming around. So we started seeing this guy, Russell Simmons. He was just driving around these cars, and we would see him in papers and magazines and everything in Europe and Australia, and just doing his thing, but he wasn't selling drugs. He wasn't hustling. He wasn't a pimp. He wasn't selling crack. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was slinging music. He was having a good time. You can't even say he was working, actually. So growing up in that time, it was such an energy, as well as this music that came over from the Bronx was hip-hop. And it was such a raw music. And in New York, Queens, besides Long Island, was considered the softest borough. So when the hip-hop started coming out and the kids in Queens started becoming known for it, and LL and MC Shan and all those guys, we actually felt like we had a voice. Forget even the world. We had a voice now along with all the boroughs, because we kind of adopted this music that really was coming out of the Bronx. So it was a magical time. College obviously isn't for everybody. I was able to you know, also get an opportunity to start my career, you know, not going back to college. But what were some of the lessons that you had learned around the time you decided to start establishing your own path instead of going back to school?
Well, I started to realize that by not going to school that I wasn't as smart as I thought I would be. You know, I took that, I'm going to take that year off type of decision, and all of a sudden I didn't go to college. Now you have me being a waiter. I'm 22 years old, and all those people I thought were idiots in school are now coming back from college. I'm serving them shrimp, right? So it was embarrassing, as well as that whole I'm going to be a millionaire very soon. It didn't work out like I thought. It was really hard to make a first million because I didn't make it for many, many years to come. I was buying these, you know, it was kind of the in thing to buy crash cars, go and get them fixed up and resell them. And I just, you know, the math with me was no problem. I'll buy 50 of them, I'll make a profit of X amount of dollars, and I'll be a millionaire next week. Well, didn't work out like that, and I was serving all my high school friends shrimp and Red Lobster when they were coming back from college. So it was embarrassing. And I think that what changed my life wasn't the fact that I wanted to become a millionaire. What changed my life was the fact that I wanted to make these clothes for myself, for other people, because nobody respected this market. I was doing something I loved, and then all of a sudden it started to take off.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, once that passion finally, you know, caught on, you know, and you finally decided, you know, this is something that I want to move forward with, and a little bit about that first product and how it kind of all took off from there. And then did you ever decide, you know, at that point it was like no slowing you down, right?
Yeah, well, you know, when that passion, when that thing grabs a hold of you, and as they say, when the needle is finally in the vein and you're really hooked, it's like being in love. It's like, you know, you thought you liked somebody when you were 13, 14 years old, and, you know, that was just something new and it was puppy love. But when you're 22, 23 years old, and you're out there sitting there making life decisions and saying, I can see myself with this person for the rest of my life, and you're getting butterflies every time you see him. That's what it is when you have a business and you have a company that you love. You can't see anything else. And, you know, I would have dressed people till today for free if I could. And I'm sure you hear that from everybody else. You know, an artist will rap and sing, you know, anytime they can be seen. And just like the kids in school who got kicked out in special ed who are comedians, they can't help it. They know that that's the biggest bully in the schoolyard, and they can't help it but crack a joke, even though they're going to get their head cracked open, but they just love what they're doing. And that's just how it was as a business. You know, I fell in love with FUBU when I saw that first person walking down the street with my product on.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Name it John, for two reasons. One, in a way, I really want to play that clip later on in the show because I wanted to talk about hip-hop and how hip-hop has created more entrepreneurs than the civil rights movement. So we're going to talk about it more, but the reason why I had to play that clip now because I want to move on to, I'm telling you guys the 10 steps of starting a business, but I want to get back to finding something that you're passionate about. Okay, and he mentioned that because he says once you find that passion, it's like the needle in the vein. It's like falling in love for the first time. You live, you drink, you become that passion. But this is what I'm trying to explain to you. If you do decide to become an entrepreneur and you do find that passion, money is not the goal. To be willing to do something or find something that you would love to do for free, because you have to be willing to do that for free. Find your passion. I'll give you a perfect example. It was 2000 when I was still starting my business, 14 Generation Technical Service in Atlanta, and one of my mentors by the name of Joe had a computer company. He's had 30 years worth of experience in the computer business. I remember my nephew and I, I would work all day because at the time I still had a 9-to-5 job. I hadn't stepped out on my own yet. I would work all day long. I would come home because at the time I was, you know, my nephew was living with me. I would come home, cook dinner for my nephew and I. We would do homework. And then my nephew and I, it would be by that time, be about 6 p.m., I would say. We would go to Joe's computer shop and help Joe build old computers for orders that he was sending out for his clients for free. For free, people. I did that for like a whole year. it took a year before Joe and I finally did a business deal together where I made money. I did that because I had the passion for my business, and it also falls into back to when I was talking about step number, step number two. It was part of my training, learning my business. So at the same time, I was working for the company where I was only making $9 an hour, and then in the evenings, I was doing stuff for free, learning my business. Kind of like what Damon Johns was saying. Damon Johns said that he was thinking he was going to get into rebuilding crash cars and realized there's no money to be made, but he was working at Red Lobster until he found his passion, which was FUBU, to make clothes for people. Now, I want to shift gears for a second. I want to talk about also when you become an entrepreneur, sometimes when it takes to find that passion, you might go through 10, 20, maybe 30 different ideas that you think is your passion, and they all fail till you realize what your true passion is. But the key is you don't give up, you know, and I hate to use this old saying, but it's like this. When you fall down, get up, dust yourself off, and move forward. So just like Damon Johns was saying in that clip that I just played for you guys, he wanted to get into crash cars, you know, taking old cars, rebuilding them, selling them, and realized that wasn't the business he needed to get into until he found his passion of FUBU, doing clothes, you know, creating a clothing line and selling this clothing line, you know. So, well, creating his clothing line, FUBU, and selling clothes that he really loved to do. Well, I'm going to take a break. It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. I will be back in a second.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
I'm lucky. I've never had a job. I've always creating things ever since age.
And you know, that's actually really what business is all about. It's about, you know, painting a picture. You know, you've got a bit of canvas and you want to create something really special. You want to make every single little bit of that canvas as perfect as you can. You know, say if you're you know, creating a new airline in America, which you've done recently, you know, you make sure that the planes are the best, the seats are the best, the crew are the best, the, you know, the food, the entertainment, you know, every single little detail you get right, so that picture is completely perfect. And that's really, you know, what I've spent my life doing and thoroughly enjoyed doing it. There's two ways of developing entrepreneurial skills. One is get out into the jungle and you give it a go. And you make mistakes along the way, and sometimes you'll make good things, and you might fall flat on your face, and you pick yourself up again, and you try again until you succeed. And that's a very good way of developing entrepreneurial skills. But it's also highly perilous. I mean, only 5% of people who set up their own businesses succeed, and the rest fail. And therefore, you know, that can be, you know, quite painful if you haven't got something to fall back on. The other way could be that, you know, to actually try to teach them in schools, and they don't even attempt it at the moment. I left school at 15 with pretty well no qualifications, and spent the next 5 years running a magazine, and that was my education. I mean, going out, meeting people, interviewing people, asking questions, learning about life. And the thing I enjoy most about my life is the fact that I'm learning all the time. I mean, every new challenge I set myself or I'm set, you know, I'm learning, you know, learning about life. I'm learning about people. I'm learning about something completely new. And it's so rewarding. So if you're building a business from scratch and you don't have financial backing, you're going to have, there's a very thin dividing line between success and failure. And I've come often very, very close to the wrong side of that dividing line. You know, I've had, you know, the bank manager on my doorstep the day after I launched Virgin Atlantic 25 years ago, you know, telling me that he was going to foreclose on the whole Virgin Group on the Monday morning. This was Friday night, unless we got him a certain amount of money by the Monday morning. And he'd actually walked into my house. It's the first time I've actually pushed somebody out of my house and told him he wasn't welcome in my house. And then I was shaking with anger, and then as I shut the door, wondered whether it was such a good idea pushing the bank manager out of one's door. But anyway, somehow that weekend we managed to scrounge the money together to pay the bills. But you know, building a business is perilous. It's exciting, and you know, you'll sail close to the wind on occasions, but you learn from it. Business is life. I mean, you know, all aspects of life. I mean, the sofa I'm sitting on, you know, was created by somebody. The lights were created by somebody. The microphone was created by somebody. And life is fascinating. And so, you know, finding out about life, finding out how these things work, and you know, how you create something really special, and you know, how you make it the best, how you pay the bills at the end of the day. I mean, it is fascinating.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you're listening to Moving Forward here on YaiserRadio.com. Live broadcast today is January 30th, 2014, and we're talking about becoming an entrepreneur. That was Sir Richard Branson. I played that clip for the simple fact that, like I told you guys, I'm going to give you guys all the tools that I've used in the past 20 years to help me become an entrepreneur. I'm also going to give you guys all the tools of the type of people that I listen to, better entrepreneur. I listen to people like Sir Richard Branson. I listen to people like Russell Simmons. I listen to people like Damon Johns. You know, I listen to people like, well, Puff Daddy. And I listen to a lot of people like, the reason why most of the people that I'm naming out are people, because I grew up in the hip-hop culture. So a lot of the people that I listen to or pay attention to their movement or hip-hop because I grew up in the hip-hop community. Now, I like Richard Branson because he didn't start out rich. He started out, once again, self-made. I also listen to a lot of people who are self-made. And I like what Richard Branson said. He pretty much said there's two ways to be an entrepreneur. You can just jump out in the jungle, like most of us do who don't have the money, or you can go get educated. You can go to school to be an entrepreneur. And I didn't know that recently that they're teaching and entrepreneurship. I know that there's business schools and everything like that, but they are teaching entrepreneurship. And I truly believe that when you become an entrepreneur, like I always say, you guys, education is the key. And going back to the clip with Richard Branson, he also talked about always learning something. Like for me, I'm 20 years in the game, and I learn every single day about business. I watch business reports. I read business reports. I live and breathe business because that's all I know. I mean, and then he said something about there was a time when the bank manager was knocking at the door like, where's our money, which goes back to getting a loan. I've been there to the point, too, where when it comes to money and trying to finance your business, you have to get creative. You have to stay with it. You have to, when the money's low, you got to move forward. When money's low, you got to be creative to try to get the money to cover things. You have to build relationships where you can be able to keep things together, keep things afloat, because at the end of the day, once you become an entrepreneur, I'm telling you, it's hard, especially like me. After 20 years in the game, it's hard to just go back to get a 9-to-5. And there's nothing wrong with a 9-to-5, but you will literally die because you have that drive, that motivation to be an entrepreneur. Okay, another thing about being an entrepreneur, I want to teach you guys and tell you guys about, you have to be honest. You got to keep it real. So whatever image that you create for your business, let it be have your DNA. Let it be a branding of you, you know. So don't create no, people always say, fake it till you make it. No, don't do that because it will come back to bite you in the ass, okay? What I'm going to do, I'm going to play a clip. And Damon Johns is talking about that. I'm going to go back to this interview with Damon Johns because he's saying some very insightful information. But before I play that clip by Damon, I want to go to step 7 and 8 of the 10 steps of creating a business, okay? Step 7 is get a tax identification number. Okay, let me tell you guys what a tax identification number, or also known as an TIN or something like that, tax identification number. It's kind of like the Social Security number for your business. Okay, you need to obtain this from the IRS of your state or the revenue agency, okay? Pretty much, that's how they track so you can pay your taxes, your federal taxes, on the profits that you make, okay? And then step number 8 is register your state and local taxes. So 7 and 8 is about taxes. So you want to register with, like, say, for instance, you get an IEN, that's what it's called. Say, for instance, you get a federal tax number from the IRS. That's like your Social Security number, like I said, for your business. But then you'll turn around and you'll register with your local state, so you can pay state taxes on your business. I'm not a big professional on taxes and stuff like that. What I would recommend you guys do is go get professional advice from like an accountant or something on the taxes, okay? So that's step 7 and 8 on starting your business. I'm going to play this clip by Damon Johns, and it goes back to creating your business, but be real about it. Don't create a false business, because once people find out, they're not going to support your business anymore. I'll be back in a second with you, man, Dwayne.
Nah, man. Developing a sexual product is one thing, but creating a lasting brand legacy is completely a different beast in its own. What core values do you maintain from your early days at FUBU and your new ventures?
You know, I think that there's 4 levels that any brand or product can go through. They won't all hit the 4 levels. So you can have an item, you know, and that item is, all right, I'm making bottle, there's water. Water can be getting anywhere from the fountain to the stream, or you put it in a bottle. You can then have a label. You put any label on there because you go into the store and you say, well, that's bottled water. I don't know the label's name per se. Then you have more of a brand, Dasani. It's a brand. We don't know much about it, but then you can become a lifestyle, Avion, vitamin water,
You know, so a lot of us don't get to the level of lifestyle where if you copy a piece of paper, somebody may say, go Xerox it, when really Xerox is a company, or you ask for a soda and somebody calls it a Coke, where it basically categorizes everything. You search for something, they say Google it, no matter how you're searching, and that becomes a lifestyle. It's a challenge to go through those processes, and what I do with all my companies is I say to them that the easiest thing to sell in the world is the truth. You know, back in the days it was, you know, make it, they will come, and we can put some lipstick on a pig and dress it up. With this world of transparency today, you can create the biggest lie campaign that you'd like, but one person at your office can send out a tweet and say it's all garbage, and you're over. So if you understand that the easiest thing to sell is the truth, and you know your DNA, if you put that out there, then people will understand it, and people will respect it. Or at least if you lose, you know they just weren't feeling you, but you know what it was.
Don't be fake. Don't lie. Be true to your business. I played that clip by David Johns because it's like this is so many people out there. There's people who give this advice. There's people who sell this advice and tell you, fake it till you make it. That is a bunch of ish, like Damon said. And like I'm telling you, your man Dwayne Abernathy, when you create your product, you are branding your product in. What you need to do is keep it real from day one, okay? In other words, I'm going to give you an example. 30 years ago, Home Depot, I don't know how long Home Depot has been around. I'm going to give you an example of what they did that couldn't work in today's world. 20-something years ago, Home Depot started in Atlanta, Georgia, right? Their goal was to create a new marketplace for hardware stores, and they want to create the do-it-yourself market. But at the same time, they want to create this large, bigger-than-life hardware store, bigger and better than any other mom-and-pop hardware store out there. So this is what they did. They want to make people think that they had all this huge inventory. So what they did, they bought, like, hundreds of paint cans, but the paint cans were empty. They bought hundreds and hundreds of boxes that look like inventory, but the boxes were empty. They put them up on the shelves and all that stuff, whatever, so when people come walking into the Home Depot's business, they're like, oh, wow, these guys are huge. And, you know, because this was the thing back in those days, early 90s, I believe, or maybe in the 80s, that's what the business model was. And so all these people were like, oh, wow, this place is huge or whatever, whatever, whatever. But they was faking it before they made it. They only pretty much had maybe, think that they had a display of 500 paint cans. Maybe only 100 of them had paint in them. You know? You can't do that in today's world. You can't do that in today's business world because somebody, a disgruntled employee or a hater of your business, they'll sit there and send out a tweet, a Facebook posting, a YouTube video, whatever, to say they're full of crap. They say that they have 1,000 different paint cans, but they really only have 100. You can't do that in today's business world. So that's why I played that clip by Damon, but then I'm also tell you guys, when you do create your business, whatever you do, keep it true to your brand. When you keep it true to your brand, that's what's going to create the reputation of your small business. And that's what's going to help people tell people about your business, and that's what's going to help you retain your customers. So, people, keep it real when you start your new business. Okay? I'm going to step number 9 and number 10 of these steps of starting your business. Matter of fact, let me recap first. Number 1 is write a business plan. Number 2, get business assistance and training. Number 3, choose a business location, which I'm not a fan of that one. Number 4, finance your business. I believe in self-finance. Number 5, determine the legal structure of your business. Number 6, register a business name, doing business as. Number 7, get a tax identification number because Uncle Sam needs his Luciano. Number 8, register with your state local taxes because Uncle Sam's underling your local government needs a Luciano. Number 9, obtain business licenses and permits. This is what this means. Remember earlier in tonight's show, I gave you an example of my aunt who does food, and she sells food at farmers market. Well, she has to go to the state health board, I believe, to get a permit to sell food. So that's what that is. If your job that you're doing or whatever business that you're creating needs certain permits or licenses, you have to go obtain that, okay? And number 10 is like when your business starts growing, and that's understanding employer responsibilities. You know, I would say go talk to somebody more professional when dealing with employees, if with different taxes. You got to deal with stuff like workman comp and all this type of stuff. But most cases, most small businesses, you're going to use contractors or people that work for hire. Okay, those are the 10 steps to starting a business. We're going to move forward because we only have like 38 minutes left. This show might go over tonight, so you guys might not hear the whole live broadcast, but you will hear the rest of the broadcast once you hear the rerun of the show, because I want to get into the fact of, we're talking about business, but I'm going to talk about my community for a second, because the whole purpose of Yizer and Move Forward is, I'm telling you, I'm not being racist or biased or nothing, but I got to help my people because we're in a bad place right now. And to the statement that I said earlier, that hip-hop has created more millionaires and entrepreneurs than the civil rights movement, because I'm a true believer, and there's so much stuff that backs the statement about to say that the civil rights movement was the death of the black businessman and the entrepreneur, okay? Hip-hop came around in the late 70s, and it started recreating that entrepreneur. But this is the problem with hip-hop now. We have let the other people come in and infiltrate hip-hop, and now it just talks about a lot of negative stuff, but hip-hop, believe it or not, has a lot of positive things that's going on in hip-hop. For example, Damon Johns. For example, myself, I'm not no big-time millionaire or nothing, but I am a product of hip-hop, and a lot of people in my community are products of hip-hop. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break, but I'm going to get back and continue to play some clips, and we're going to pretty much talk about hip-hop in the business, how it helps out our community, and how to get the entrepreneurs in our community that we need, because we need to bring those dollars back to our community. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Yizer Forward. I mean, you listen to Yizer Radio, and this is Moving Forward on YizerRadio.com. I'll be back in a second.
I've been drinking. I get filthy when that liquor get up on me. I've been thinking. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, na-na. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, na-na. Cigars on ice. Feeling like an animal with these cameras all in my grill. Flashing lights. You got me pity, baby, I want you, na-na. Can't keep your eyes off my pity, daddy, I want you, na-na. Drunk in love, I want you. We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the hell did this shit happen? Oh, baby.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the...
The first year of business is obviously the most difficult for entrepreneurs. What was your work ethic like the first year of business and today?
You know, I wouldn't really tell you the truth that the first year of business is the most difficult because the first year of business, you're still learning and you're small enough and you're agile enough to make the corrections and learn the mistakes. I would say the first year of when you have employees and you have responsibility is where you really learn, you know, the challenges. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be the entrepreneur in residence at a university, a Babson University in Boston, Massachusetts this year. And there was a book written by the president, President Schlesinger, Len Schlesinger, and it taught entrepreneurship. And I never thought you could be taught entrepreneurship. You could be taught business, but not entrepreneurship. And the thing that all entrepreneurs have in common is every entrepreneur makes an affordable step forward, no matter what direction it is. Then they learn from that and they repeat it. That means that when you're in the dark, you can't see, you make a small step, you feel around, you keep going, but you step back because you stepped on something, right? And that's the first 1, 2, 3, 4 years of business entrepreneurs make the affordable step. The other people who are not entrepreneurs who are doing it for money make sometimes unfortunate steps. They go and they say, I need to get $1 million because that's going to cure the problem. Now you got $1 million problem. Or they make bad steps because they want to go get money because they just want to go get money. They want the Benz, and all of a sudden they end up in a place that they don't want to be, or sometimes they end up not existing at all. So, you know, you always just have to be somebody who really loves what you're doing and make an affordable step forward and learn and then repeat.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernethy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Today is January 30th, 2014, live broadcast, and we're talking about being an entrepreneur, starting a business. I played that clip by Damon Johns once again. You know, it's for the simple fact, I'm just trying to show you guys that becoming an entrepreneur is a lifestyle. You know, it's a lifestyle that you choose to live. So when you choose to live this lifestyle, you have to take the good, the bad, you have to take the rewards, you have to take the responsibility of the complaints. So like you said, like if you start having employees, like you get into year number 4, now it's time to hire employees, you have to take the time to learn to deal with employees. I'm going to give you a perfect example, like with me. I'm bad with employees. I'm bad at I have a problem with micromanaging people. But then I have a problem with not micromanaging people. I know that might sound crazy, but I have no gray areas. So I'm a type of person that either I micromanage the hell out of you, or I'm a type of person that I'm expecting you, if you tell me you can do something, I'm going to leave you to do that. But if you need my help or support, I'm there to help and support you. To me, that's bad management. That's why I always have to have a business manager to help me when I'm dealing with other people, you know. And so that's the great thing about being an entrepreneur. You can't do it for the money. The pressures of bills, the pressures of family, the pressures of if you're dating a wife or whatever, they're going to be there. You have to be able to control and handle all that, but at the same time, you have to push forward. You have to push forward. There's always going to be people out there talking about, it's never going to work, or why don't you quit, or you're crazy for doing this or whatever. But the crazy part about it is when you do become successful and you do push past all the negative and everything, then everybody loves and praises you or whatever. Not saying that that's the goal. The whole purpose of a business is to provide a service that someone needs. And it's all about giving. One thing about business that I've learned is the more you give and you give and teach or whatever, the money will come. The money will come, but if you, just like Damon just said, if you're a person and you're just doing business just to make money, just for the money, you're going to have $1 million problem, a $10,000 problem. You're going to have problems. You have to be a person who loves and believes in what you're doing. And when you love and believe in what you're doing, then you create a culture around you. You create a brand that people will be attracted to, and then you provide a service, and then you give them back, and you give them more to your community. Okay? One of the people who I listen to, and I follow his examples all the time, is Russell Simmons. And he talks about this. He talks about all things that I just talked about, like when you have the stresses and the pressure of your business and everything. And Russell Simmons pretty much say, you know, stay calm. If you're into prayer, pray. If you're into exercise, exercise. Sometimes you have to unplug. And I can remember my first, I would say, maybe my first 10 years of business, I was the type of person, I was just running. Always working, not sleeping, not eating right or whatever. I started getting sick. And I used to get ulcers and stuff all the time. And I remember I went to the doctor one time, and the doctor told me, like, Dwayne, next time I see you, I'm going to cut on you because we're going to have to go inside you and cut the ulcer out. So what you need to do, you need to change your diet, you need to start exercising, and you need to start getting rest. So starting a business has a lot of pressures, but you live your business, but you don't let your business kill you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play this clip from an interview from Russell Simmons, because what he says in this is so important, and it goes back to what I'm saying. It's an interview that people are asking him questions, but what he's saying is pretty much if the pressure's there, take a moment, find what gives you relaxation, and step away from your business for a second. So listen to this clip, and this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to YazzaRadio.com, and this is Moving Forward. And check out this clip by Russell Simmons on staying calm, pretty much.
It's like finding yourself on a train and you're going the wrong way. Get up, go to the other side, and you go the other way. That simple. And this is the nature of any kind of personal evolution. Just get up and go to work. You know, and one step, you know, is inspiring to the next step. It becomes a cycle, right? So you have to get up and you have to start. And you can start any minute. You can pick a date. But the idea, you know, the impetus is to get up and go. It's in all of us. And again, when we start, we find it so much easier to continue a process. Quitting is the hard part.
Thank you.
Thanks for having Stephanie with sister.
How you doing? Good. What do you think is the biggest misconception that entrepreneurs face when they're starting their business?
They think they're going to make it or not. You know, there's always more. They asked me about dreaming. I said, you never stop dreaming. And they also think that sometimes some entrepreneurs believe that the result is why they go to work. You go to work because the work is prayer. You go to work because the work is inspiring. And you give what you like. You know, if you're a true entrepreneur, you give what you want to receive. And that process, you know, is something that people sometimes, they say, oh, look, they're making money doing that. Let's do that. I mean, there are people who are numbers people who actually get their inspiration from counting, from organizing, and from putting things in place, and what they're selling doesn't matter. But then most entrepreneurs do things out of passion, do things that they love, and they give people things that they love, and that's a process. It enhances them, and it fuels them.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. The weekend recipe.
How you doing, Sharpay? My question is, what would you say to small business owners who are looking to take their company to the next level when they're, like, looking for backing or funding from different people? What would you say to them?
Well, first thing is to put the numbers together. If you have growth and you have, you know, a good business plan, people, there's plenty of money out there. If you're doing a good job and if you have a proper business plan and if it shows growth and great potential, then you should be able to get it funded. But you have to go through that real process. You can't just, you know, you can't have the information on a napkin. You got to put it together, right? To own it. You know, just the way you copyright a business idea is the way you, you know, put them on paper in a way that people can understand a business plan. And if it includes growth, then funding is not an issue. It has to include real success, or you have to build up that success, you know, and then have that business plan reflect that when it's ready.
Okay, thank you.
Nikki Simone with Behind the Mic.
Hi,
you doing?
I'm doing
fine. My question is, what has been your worst advice that you have gotten and received throughout your business career? Because we always talk about all the positive things, but
there's always a demon everybody has, you know, they're going to get this money, they're going to make this money. This idea that money is going to make you happy. Or that money is going to be the result of your work, and that's, you know, why you, you know, it makes sickness. Artists say, you know, they rap about money, right? Get this new car and all that, and they rap about that. And then they love this process. Sometimes they're sweet Jehovah Witness boys who become rappers. They break their mama's mold because they rap. Mostly they're just good kids. And they rap, and then they get this hit record. And they rap about junk, about stuff they want to get, you know, and they also rap about being tough, right? But they really love their life so much. They love God, they love their life, they love rapping, the poetry. And then they get the stuff. And the stuff becomes so anticlimactic. You get in the car, you drive around the corner. Is that it? That's it, and that makes you sick. It makes the sickness so much that that same person who rapped about being tough, who would never risk his life, is now shooting at people and getting shot at. And he's tough because his life doesn't mean as much to him. Because he now discovered that what he thought made him happy didn't make him happy, but he forgot what made him happy was the work itself, the prayer. So they forget the prayer. And that is an important thing. People, again, focus on results. And they focus on the wrong results. You know, many times, because our society teaches us that. So this little Jehovah Witness boy goes to jail, he has this experience, and then one day he comes back home and he realizes what's important is here, not out there. So that idea that you're going to get something when it's just a cycle of giving is what you should be, you know, focused on and promote happiness.
Thank you.
Yeah, tall boy experience.
How you doing, sir?
Tall boy experience?
Yeah, tall boy experience.
Okay, I like that.
Met you out in Vegas for CES, and with YouTube and Vimeo as major sources for original content, do you have any plans of working with that company, or what are you doing?
I just started ADD. I'm at work every day building content. I got a lot of content waiting to launch. I work every day at ADD. A lot of this stuff will become film or become television outside of that kind of media. But that form of media and that ADD network, All Deaf Digital, has great potential on its own. You know, with smart TVs coming and with all as much as they are, and there's a lot of growth, a lot of potential in building out this network, ADD, and there's a lot of money being invested, and people are going to work every day for this company. So I'm in this, for real, I'm in this ADD thing and in this YouTube potential.
And the potential of working with Blackstreet TV?
I'm working on the Blackstreet thing right now. We talk all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Finally, we have pure conceptions.
My question to you is, what advice would you give to the entrepreneur that is feeling burnt out?
Feeling burnt out. I mean, you know, I wake up some morning sluggish or tired. I don't want to say it again, it sounds boring, but sit still. Because it's noise that takes you, it makes you sick, it makes you sad. It's the stillness that makes you happy and gives you creativity. And so, sit still. You know, you can run. It slows the noise down, right? You work out, running. You can do yoga, physical practice, you know. And that can, you know, clear your mind some. But you can meditate as well. You may even go pray. But meditation, stillness, lets everything refresh, lets your brain reset, and lets the noise settle. Because what makes you burnt out or what makes you sick or weak is noise. You know, the fluctuation of the mind. So a good piece of advice is to wake up and light a candle and meditate. Let all the stuff that's going crazy, and my mind's like a monkey. Gonna go crazy in the head, especially when you start sitting. But then when the nervous system calms, the mind calms. And when the mind calms, it rests in perfection. And then from there, it's easy to go out and go to work. So carrying this, oh, I'm so stressed, I gotta do this. It's not real. You know, people say they're stressed. You know, the rich people are stressed. there's some poor people who live to be 100. You say poor, and people who have less toys. Life's job is to be comfortable in a seat. You can operate from a calm seat. That's where happiness comes from, and that's where good ideas come from. And if you are not needy, always, because the sickness comes from the neediness. You know, I'm stressed, I gotta get this, the neediness causes suffering. But without neediness, you attract everything. So you have to operate from a calm space.
Think big.
What's up? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. I played that clip. I know it's a pretty long clip by Russell Simmons, but he hit so many important topics that I wanted you guys to hear. One of the things that he said in that clip that I go by every day, and then I tell people all the time, is that when you decide to become a business person, you are going to get stresses, money problems, all the above, but you have to not let that kill you. You have to be able to learn to be calm, relax, things work themselves out, because it's going to work itself out, okay? But at the same time, when it comes to being an entrepreneur, you have to be able to handle disappointment, too, where, say, for instance, if you did have a plan and thinking something was going to work a certain way and it fell all apart, you can't fall apart. You have to keep it together, regroup, and move forward. And like I tell you guys all the time, like, and I was taught this too, entrepreneur is a state of mind. It's a mind state. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I remember reading this book years ago by Dennis Kimbrough, and I recommend all you guys read this book. And it's called Think and Grow Rich, A Black Perspective. And what Dennis Kimbrough did, he is pretty much a rewrite of an original book by Napoleon Hill called Think and Grow Rich. And he pretty much wrote this book about the older white entrepreneurs like the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts, all the guys who built the industry of the United States. Well, Dennis Kimbrough wrote the same book from the perspective of the black businessman or woman. And I'm going to tell you guys a secret about being an entrepreneur and making money. It's all about a state of mind. One simple statement. I'm going to tell you the statement right now. Have you ever heard somebody go, for instance, like, we want to, we need to buy a new home. And the first thing you come out and say, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. That's a state of mind. Okay? To change the state of mind is, you know what? Let me find out how I can afford it, or let me create something so I can afford it. So what I'm trying to say is, you don't go out and buy things you can't afford, but you do. You don't get it until you can afford it. And what you do, you figure out how you can afford it. Entrepreneurship is pretty much a state of mind. What you do, you sit back and you create revenue streams for your family. I had a meeting earlier today. I had a video conference with one of my business partners today, and we were talking about in the news and people always talking about there's no jobs out there, there's no jobs, I can't get a job. Well, guess what? If you can't get a job, you can't find a job, what you do, you got to create a job. You have to go get the money. You have to create that. You can't sit around and wait for somebody to do it for you. You have to go out and create that job. So that's the whole thing about entrepreneurship. Like I told you guys earlier in tonight's broadcast, sometimes you might be forced to become an entrepreneur, even if you didn't want to. But think about this. Every day you go to work for somebody, and I'm not bashing going to work for somebody, but you make that business, that person, that company, millions of dollars. If you sit down and look at how much money did you make for them for your skill set, why can't you do that skill set yourself?
You know what I'm saying? That is the supplemental income that can help you out if they do decide to fire you, lay you off, or downsize your position. Okay? And that goes back to the reason why I also played that clip by Russell Simmons where they was asking him all these questions. But Russell Simmons is the person who created something that nobody wanted. He is considered the godfather of hip-hop, and that's why I give so much respect to hip-hop. Despite all the negative, everything's going to be negative of everything, but hip-hop didn't create sex and violence, you know, but that's what they talk about. But believe it or not, like I tell you guys all the time, hip-hop has created more entrepreneurs and more millionaires than the civil rights movement. It's a true statement. It's a true fact. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to get back. We only have 13 minutes left. I got a feeling this show is going to go over tonight. So a lot of you guys are not going to hear the end of this show as a live broadcast, but you can hear the end of the show through the replay of the show later on tonight. But I'm going to take a break, and this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. And I'll be back in a second after this break. Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to YizerRadio.com. We're talking about tonight, entrepreneur or start your own business. I touched on a lot of things. Now, I'm going to wrap everything up. I'm going to wrap everything up because we're talking generally on teaching you guys on how to become entrepreneurs. But one of the big major reasons why I started a business, and I'm going to be honest with you, because I want to be a black businessman so I can help out my community, so I can give to my community. Because one thing about business, and just like Russell Simmons was saying in that clip that I played earlier, it's about being able to give back. The whole purpose of becoming a business person is to provide a service to help your community. Because I'm a true believer, and I've been taught this too by my mentors, the more you give, you give and give and give, and you worry about the money later, the money will come to take care of whatever you needed to take care of. Now, I got to talk to my young people for a second. The other day, I was watching Love and Hip Hop, right? And there are no positive images of us. And I'm not hating on people. Get your money, okay? Because believe it or not, you are entrepreneur, you're getting your money. But our media is so filled with all these negative energy, all these negative images, and this term ratchetness. You know, the only thing they feel that we can do in our community is sell cool or sell ratchetness or whatever. And I'm like, we need to do better. We need to do better. We don't need any more video chicks. We don't need any more grown-ass women fighting on TV. We don't need no more examples of black men having multiple women. But the crazy part about it is that's their business at their end, that they make money by that. But they need to be more than that. And I believe, I'm talking about hip-hop because, once again, hip-hop has created more entrepreneurs and millionaires in our community in the past 30 years. So I'm using this as an example. What they need to do to counter that, after you do your ratchet show, like I said, I'm not hating on how you make your money, but you got to make it public that you out there helping out the homeless, that you creating other jobs. And to let any of my young people out there listening, that stuff is entertainment. This is not how these people really live. Even with our rappers and stuff like that and our athletes, let these people know that this is not how life is, what life is really about. Getting up to my clip. I only have 8 minutes left of my show tonight, but this clip is going to take me over time. So you guys are not going to get to hear the ending of the show live, but you can hear it again later when we do the rerun. But there's a guy, ex-hustler, like a lot of us are, named Jay Moores. He created this video clip, and he's given a public announcement talking about the same thing that I'm talking about right now. I'm letting you guys know there's some profanity in this clip. So if there's any kids around, you might want to send them in the other room. But I have to play this clip because he's saying the same thing that I'm saying, but this guy has a bigger audience than me. But this is something that I feel that our audience at Yizer and Yizer Radio needs to hear this clip. So this is Jay Moores pretty much telling the same thing I'm telling you guys right now. We have to not let the media and the business world just create the fact that the only way that you can make money as a black entrepreneur is to be cool. You know, like with myself, I'm in IT, and I'm a black man. You know, my cousin, he's a realtor. So it's more to us than making money than just being cool. So that's why I'm going to play this clip. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'll be back in about 8 minutes.
It's with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Wake up!
Now it's my video. The message I got for us is, at some point, like, I grew up. Like, I figured out, like, I'm a guy with 3 felony and 3 different states. No college education.
I mean, my first million was usually about 28. I'm crushing the industry I'm in right now. Like, I'm that guy. And I want to give game to our culture. Like, I want all of us to win. Like, we all black people, right? We're on the same team. Like, it's team us to me, right? This is not no racist shit. This is, like, for real, though. Like, the Jewish people, like, they might love everybody, but I'm sure they love their culture a little more. Just like Italians and everybody else. Like, I love black people a lot. I want to see us win. We fucking up right now. Like, we losing. Like, we think we cool being ratchet and doing all the shit we doing, but we're losing. Like, we think that, like, sagging our pants, like, we don't give a fuck and rocking out and tattooing our face and being all crazy. Like, we think that shit is cool. And, like, we're getting somewhere, we're losing the big picture, we're losing the race. Like, we gaining a cool car, we are the coolest people on earth, but we're the poorest also. We lead in violence, we lead in poverty, we're leading in lack of home ownership, in lack of businesses, like, in lack of college education, we lead in teen pregnancy. Like, why the fuck is our culture the one that gotta be so fucked up? Like, why, like, when we gonna wake up? Like, we wanna win, right? So here's how we do it. I don't got the juice right now. Like, my platform's not that big yet. I will be, though. But we got a lot of kings out there that got big platforms. And that's really our rappers, our ball players, our entertainers. Like, they run our shit. Like, Ross, you run our shit. Weezy, you run our shit. Big Homie, Jay, of course, you run our shit. Like, and everybody's in between. Jeezy, Snoop on the West Coast, Kendrick, LeBron, Wayne, fucking Durant. Fucking y'all niggas got the juice. Y'all kings. And my message is not to, y'all are leaders right now. right? And my message is not to, like, never stop rapping about what you rap about. Like, you'll rap about dope. Rap about fucking chicks. Rap about whatever you want to rap about because it's art. I never tell an artist to stop being an artist. I never tell someone in Hollywood, don't make a movie and shoot somebody in the head. Do you? But outside of your craft, outside of your art, Raw, Weezy, Jeezy, Jay, Puffy, fucking everybody, from the littlest dude to the biggest dude, y'all all have a responsibility to tell the rest of our culture it's just entertainment. Even if you really come from that, just say, I just come from that and I rap about that. But for us to win, we gotta realize that this thing we call pop culture, this thing we call being ratchet, being cool, being whatever the fuck we like, dude, you know what it is. Like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, the shit we do. That doesn't work in corporate America, but it works in the streets. It makes you cool. Like, that shit loses, though. It loses the big picture. It doesn't, like, I go around speaking to kids in schools, and, yo, I played the block heavy. Like, I was outside with the white beads rolling, the chain on, the pants sagging, and the Louis belt, who gives a fuck, and balling in the clubs and throwing the money and all that. But none of that shit got my mom off the hood. Like, me cleaning up, learning how to speak properly. Like, I didn't go to college. Like, nobody taught me this shit. I figured it out. Like, I didn't even know how to tie a tie, but I figured the shit out. Like, I didn't know about collar weight under your collar, like, the way your collar lands. But I learned. I figured the shit out. So, like, that's the elevation of our culture. Like, our culture, we have to elevate. Like, we stuck. We stuck at this plateau of, like, the 80s drug dealers. That shit is over. Like, we gotta do better. We gotta wake the fuck up, because we gonna get to the next level. I'm just here to lead by example. I'm encouraging the people that got the juice right now, right? That's why I'm promoting this video. It's not for me. It's no self-promotion. I'm promoting our culture and the elevation of our culture. So all y'all who got the juice, yo, play your part. Like, get off of self. Be selfless. Like, we all do enough. Everybody living good. We all got blows and all that on our wrist. Cool. But fuck that. What about the rest of us? What about our team? What about our culture, right? Let's be team players. So if you are an entertainment person, even the girls, Nikki, Reeve, all of that, yo, do you have fun? Ball out. But telling little girls, like, nah, mom, that's not what it is. This is my life, and I'm an entertainer. But you're going to have to be something else probably in life. Because we know that everybody's not going to make it in entertainment. We know it don't work like that. So we got to set the example of how else we make it. And everybody's not going to be corporate in the suit, but you got to know how to fill out an application. You got to know how to speak to a boss. I don't care if you're the guy in the back of the garbage truck. Yo, work your way to the front of the truck, drive it. He make more money. Then take, if you're the driver, work your way to the supervisor. He make more money. But you'll never get to that level if you don't know how to clean up, speak properly, and make an impression on the people that write the checks. Like, I'm giving us game for how we elevate. Like, the dude on the block right now in Tennessee, in Miami-Dade, in Baton Rouge, in L.A., in Chicago, in Omaha, Nebraska, Minnesota, Brooklyn, Patterson, New Jersey, wherever you at, right? Like, this is what I'm trying to say. I come from what you come from. My record real. I come from the same guy. The same guy, right? And I'm not going to talk about my resume, what I do in corporate America. It's phenomenal. But the point is that all of us can clean up in our own way. Everybody has the same talent, but everybody has the ability to elevate themselves. So the way you do that is put effort into caring about your life, speaking better, dressing better, applying for a job, going to school, educating yourself, reading. Like, yo, we have to do better, yo. Everything can't be cool. Like, everything, like, you gotta do some shit. Like, we gotta make smart the new cool. So this right here is just a quick message, man, to the community. Like, yo, step your game up, man. Like, you're not winning with, you know, like, you're not winning. Fuck this. It's not, I know I'm gonna get feed the last back for this, but yo, with some real shit, you don't win with dredging your hair. Like, hanging down your hair. Like, yo, that shit looks cool as hell, like, in front. It look cool with your dreads hanging and all of that. Like, you know what I mean, swinging and shit. That shit's cool. That shit don't get you no money. That don't get your mom off the hood. At all. Like, you gotta make tough choices, man. Tough choices in our culture. And bigger than that, yo, our leaders, the ones who got the juice, y'all gotta step up. And when I get the juice, I'm taking the crown. I'm taking that right now. And I'm taking the crown not for my own promotion, but to elevate our culture. Like, our culture needs a leader. I look at the black community as a business. Every business needs a CEO. A CEO is a chief executive officer. That officer is the visionary, right? The black community, we have no visionaries. Like, the people that are the visionaries are corny as hell. We don't want to buy into them. Some middle-class dude comes back telling us how we should live. We don't want to hear that shit. I know that. I come from the bottom. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear some old head, 50 years old, telling you how to live right now, 2013. So, like, our old years, they've done their best to pave the way for us. These other people from the middle class backgrounds, they care and they're trying. Cool, I'm not knocking nobody. Keep trying because you're saving some lives. But for us that's from that, like, cut from that cloth for real, like, yo, we got to step up and, like, somebody got to be a visionary for the rest of the hood. Like, somebody got to do it. Somebody got to step up and say, yo, this is the direction we're going. This is how Hov did. We got changed clothes. He was trying to tell us, like, yo, step your game up. Like, grow up. And speaking of Big Homie, like, he's one of my biggest inspirations, like, even with his lines, like you said. I do this for my culture. To show him what a dude looks like when a dude is in a roaster. It's inspiration. And another guy I want to give a shout out to is Steve Harvey. I went to one of his mentoring events in Chicago. He talked real as hell to a bunch of hood kids, cursing, letting it all out, and that inspired me to stop being some crooked all day and time. And sometimes you gotta put that shit in the line and tell the community straight up, yo, straighten the fuck up. But let's get our shit together. Because I could win. I could be rich in life. But if we all don't win, if the black community is looked at as like the brokest, poorest, fucking ghetto, derelict community in the world, we all lose. I lose. Even if I'm rich, I still lose if the rest of y'all don't get your shit together. So let's team up. Let's get our shit together. Wake the fuck up. And that's it. Peace.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. Jay Morris, wake up. I'm ending the show with that clip for the simple fact that I told you guys tonight, giving you ideas and concepts on how to become an entrepreneur, how to step out on your own faith or whatever. Tell you to go quit your job or whatever. But I'm trying to say to you, it is important to be an entrepreneur, or it's important to work with an entrepreneur, you know, and I'm talking about, look, we have to change our mind state in our community. There's no such thing as a good job anymore. You have to go out and get a job to take care of your family, but you have to go out and also connect with a young entrepreneur or a entrepreneur in our community and be a part of something that's growing financially so you can be able to have more control of the security of taking care of your family. I also play that clip, too, because, like I told you guys, I'm a product of hip-hop. Hip-hop is more than just music. And believe it or not, hip-hop is about business, and it's about entrepreneurship. But I'm also talking about entrepreneurship in our community, and that's why I played that clip by Jay Morris, because it's time for us to grow up. Grow your damn pants up. Change your image. Learn how to communicate with people. It's cool to use slang, but being cool keeps us at the bottom of the barrel. We got to stop being cool all the time. We do not want to be the culture being known for being cool, okay? You know, we have to be smarter than what they expect us to be. Just like hip-hop. We created hip-hop, you know, didn't even noticing it, but then we let them take over hip-hop. So that's why we have to get back to being focused and growing our community. So I'm closing out this show tonight. I gave you guys some pointers on how to become an entrepreneur, how to start a business. I told you guys some stories, some personal stories that I've been through. I've also played you guys clips tonight of some of my mentors of young African-American entrepreneurs in this country. That's pretty much every guy that I played tonight were guys. Even Will Richard Branson and them two are all guys are considered like rebel entrepreneurs, people who started without having a silver spoon in their mouth and took something that people didn't want or took nothing and created something so they can give back to people. And that's the bottom line. The whole purpose is when you do become an entrepreneur, keep it real, be yourself, never change, and always give back. Okay? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm closing out tonight's show. Once again, thank you guys for tuning in with me. I hope that I touched some people out there tonight, and I hope that I have sparked that next entrepreneur out there in our community. Like I tell you guys all the time, knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. I will see you guys on Sunday night. Hopefully I'll be back in the ATL. But remember, people, stay focused and move forward. And also, log on to Yizer.com to get updated news or whatever. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm out. I will see you guys on Sunday. Peace.
give it up like that's true. You might want to roll with me too. That I don't mean to brag, but I live a life that most can only dream about. Yeah. So baby, come be my dream girl. Pick up fantasy and let me run out. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tell me where you wanna go. What you wanna do? Say we living it like we own it, own it, own it. To the most top of the world. What I need is you. Say we living it like we own it, own it, own it. Yeah. Never too much. So just let the drink flow. Later on, you can come through. They should call you your highness. And call me king, cause I'm that dude. All you gotta do is leave your crew. Said I don't mean to brag, but I live a life that most can only dream about. Yeah. So baby, come be my dream girl. Pick up fantasy and let me work out. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tell me where you wanna go. You wanna do? So we living it like we own it, own it, own it. Then I'm on top of the world. What I need is you. So we living it like we own it, own it, own it, yeah.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.